Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Masachek Ketubot Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the second Shir on Ketubot. And after a lengthy discussion about the role of Ones in determining whether a get, a condition has been fulfilled, thus negating a get, we go back to analyzing our Mishnah directly, and we see the comment of Rabbi Shmuel or Yitzchak, again on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, a couple of lines from the bottom. The rule that a woman of Batulah must get married on Wednesday only goes back as far as Ezra's Takana, which we're dating back to approximately the 5th century BCE, because his Takana is the Batei Dinin based on the market days, should be in session in all of the cities and all of the towns on Monday and Thursday. But before his Takana, meaning earlier in history, then Batei Dinin were in session any day, meaning every day or any day that they were needed, they were available, a woman could get married any day. Now, there's two problems with this statement. The first problem the Gemara is going to raise right away, but before that, there was another problem, which is it's not really true that a woman can get married any day because she can't get married, for instance, on a Sunday, because we have the Takana of Shaktu. She can't get married on a Monday for the same reason. Perhaps she could get married on a Tuesday. Question is whether she could get married on a Thursday or Friday. So it's not really b'chol yom, but we'll excuse that. In the meantime, the Gemara deals with a different problem. Kodem takanat Ezra, ma'ida have have. We're not here for a history lesson. In other words, to tell me that this takanan must post-date the takanat Ezra, it's fine information, but it has no halachic impact. So hachikama, this is what Rosh Hashanah Yitzchak said. If you find a town where Batei Dinin are in session every day, like it was before Takanat Ezra, then a woman could get married every day. In other words, Rav Shmuel ben Yitzchak is giving a somewhat innovative interpretation to the Takana and saying there is not a hard and fast Takana that a girl has to get married on a Wednesday. Rather, there is a takana that a girl must get married, a betulah must get married the night before Beit Din will be in session. Plus, we take into consideration that it should be late enough in the week that her husband will have properly prepared for the wedding to make a nice feast. And therefore, if you find a place where Batei Din are in session, let's say on a Friday morning, you can get married on a Thursday night. If they're in session on a Wednesday, you can get married on a Tuesday night. Good. So now, Habayim and Shaktu. So the Gemara now asks the first question I asked, which is, you can't get married every day. You must get married after Wednesday. And now they're taking Kohol Yom literally. The answer is the Triachle. They were talking about a case where the guy really did put the effort in and did enough work. Now, there's another way to answer that, which would be that Kohol Yom is Lav Dafka, because after all, she can't get married on Shabbos, for instance. So, as we'll see, she can't get married on a Sunday because of a different consideration. So the whole yom could be taken a little loosely, meaning not just Wednesday, but there are other days. Tuesday, Thursday are available. But we want to push it a little bit further and say that perhaps Shaktu should be taken literally. Perhaps the whole yom should be taken literally, and that really she could get married any day, as long as it's not, there's not some other violation. So the question is, my Shaktu? So the answer they give is the Triachle. We're talking about a case where the guy really did put the effort in and prepared a proper feast for her, in which case, evidently we say it's fine. In other words, the way that we're chronologically ordering the takanot is first there was a takana to get married the day before Beit Din's in session. And then, because some people were not preparing properly for their weddings, they said, you know what, don't make it Sunday, make it Wednesday. But if somebody, let's say, works very hard and puts together a beautiful preparation, and the wedding's on a Monday, and it's a town where Beit Din's in session on Tuesday, it's fine. So now my Shaktu, what is Shaktu? This is what we already had. Why did the rabbis say you have to marry on a Wednesday? Because if there was a problem with the Betulim, he would get up early the next morning while he was still upset about it and bring the issue to the Beit Din and wouldn't have time to cool off and perhaps put it aside when it should not be put aside. So let him get married on Sunday, and the same thing, he'll come Monday morning. The answer is, Chachamim were very zealous to make sure Benot Yisrael had nice weddings, that a person should prepare for 3 days, Echad b'Shabbat, B'Sheni b'Shabbat, B'Shlishi b'Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Uvar v'Ikon Sa, and marry here on Wednesday. Now, the Braita continues, U'misakana v'Elach, from the time that there was a particular danger, we'll see what that was, onwards, Nagu'am l'chnos b'Shlishi, the people had the custom of marrying on Tuesday instead, and the Chachamim didn't stop them, because evidently they felt that this danger was significant enough that it overrode their consideration of the possibility that there would be something untoward, that they want the guy to come report. This danger overrode it. Chachamim noticed, did not institute changing it to Tuesday, but they didn't stop the people. But Monday you certainly can't get married. But if you get married on Monday because of some sort of an ones, then it's mutar. We'll have to see what it is. Meaning that we have sort of a hierarchy of issues. The ideal, of course, is to get married on Wednesday. When there are certain circumstances in which getting married on Wednesday is going to entail some sort of a danger, and the people of their own volition start getting married on Tuesday, Chachamim leave it alone. They don't push it. Because maximum, if they get married on Tuesday, at the very worst case, and there really is something untoward, so hopefully he'll stay interested enough to come Thursday morning to the Beit Din. But if this person gets married on Monday because of some sort of an onus, and we'll see what that is, something out of his control, that he must get married on that Monday, then it's mutar. And then the Braita continues, U'mafishina tachatan min hakala lelei Shabbat chila. We don't let the chatan and kala be together Friday night, if that's the first night they're together, because the first bi'ilah is going to be considered chabura and a chilul Shabbat. That's something we're going to investigate, not in this podcast, but in future podcasts over the course of the next few daf, and we'll see what exactly the issue of the chabura is and whether there are exceptions, caveats to it, and indeed there are. My sakana. So now let's examine the braita. The first part of the braita is something we already saw, that Chachamim wanted to make sure that you would, that first of all, that you get married on Wednesday because of Tanat Betulim. And Chachamim said you can't get married on Sunday because you have to have Shoktu. And then they said, however, from the time of Sakanan on, they got married on Tuesday and Chachamim didn't stop them. My Sakana, what was the Sakana? Ilei Mada Amri, if it was this following Sakana. Betulei, they said they were Vite Hare. If it was a Sakana, that sounds very familiar from the Hadrianic persecutions, they said anybody fulfilling the Jewish customs will be executed. For instance, a girl getting married on a Wednesday will be killed. Then Nahagu, then you're going to say that if the people on their own had the practice of changing it to a Tuesday, Chachamim didn't stop them? Legamri Nakre. If the case was that the Romans, in this case, said any girl getting married on a Wednesday will be executed, then we should have just uprooted Wednesday totally. And he just said either some other day, or then they'd switch it to that day, or just say get married any day you want. So Amar Rabbah was here, De Amri Betulani Seb Yoraviti Ba'ala Hegmon Tchila. Here's what happened. They said, and this takes us back really to the Greek era, the Romans did it also, the rite of the first night, that they said if a Betula is getting married, really they didn't say it this way. A Betula getting married, the Hegmon, the local governor or the head of the army, has the first rights to have Bia with her. So how did they know when she was getting married? They knew that she was getting married on a Wednesday. So the way they formulated it is, a girl getting a betula getting married on a Wednesday first has to have relations with the hegemon. So, hi sakana, onus, why are you calling that a sakana? That's simply onus. In other words, the girl should continue to get married on Wednesday, and if this guy takes her, he takes her, and she can still get married because it was out of her control. So the answer is, mishum de'ika tsnuot. First of all, they're tsnuot, very virtuous women. D'masa nafshayu liktala. They will say, I'm not going to be taken by this guy. Kill me first. And then, therefore, they're going to come in under danger for their life. So why don't we publicly tell them, listen, if that guy takes you and takes you for the night, then you're mutter to your husband, and you shouldn't give up your life for it, because it's onus, it's out of your control, a woman is raped. So the answer is, if you do that, you got another problem. Ika prutzot. We already saw that snuot and prutzot in Rava's ruling about Gittin. Ika prutzot, there are loose women that will take advantage of that, and then they will go with the hegemon and perhaps really initiate and go to Chatzil and say, oh, you know, the rabbi said it's okay. Because Nami Kohanot, there's also Eshet Kohen. We've got to remember that an Eshet Kohen who's raped is also to her husband, unlike an Eshet Yisrael. No, so if that's the case, that the let's assume now that it was the Greeks, were saying any time that a girl is getting married on a Wednesday, the local governor, the local general, has the rights to the first night, meaning the night before she gets married. So, Valeacre, why don't we just change the takana and uproot it, and therefore there won't be any problem, and they won't know when they're getting married. They're not going to come in for some possibility that a girl's getting married. This way they'd come in every Tuesday night and find the girls were getting married the next night. The answer is Gzeira Avida de Batla. This is a very big statement about Jewish history. Gzeira Avida de Batla, Takan Drabon Mikam Gzeira Loakrina. Gzeira will disappear. After all, after a few years, it did disappear. The decree of the local governor, of the local army, comes and it goes. The Takanta Drabon Mikam Gzeira Loakrina. We don't take a Takana Drabanan and uproot it because of a Gzeira. When social circumstances change, when political reality changes, that's one thing. But to say because there's a terrible, discriminatory, and horrific ruling that they make, that's going to pass with time. We're not going to uproot a takana d'rabbanan, but we'll do a workaround. What's the workaround? If you get married on Tuesday, we won't say anything. So if they know that you're going to get married on a Tuesday, so they'll come in on Monday and take the girl. The answer is misfeka lo akar nafshe. He doesn't come into town because of the possibility. When he knows there's a wedding, and he knows it's always going to be on a Wednesday, he'll come in on Tuesday and grab her. But it might be Tuesday, it might be Wednesday. We don't know. He's not going to come in, which solved it. Which, by the way, meant that nahagu now makes a lot of sense. Some people did it on Tuesday. Some people did it on Wednesday. Since the guy never knew when they were going to get married, he wouldn't come in at all. And that solved the problem, evidently in that circumstance. The rest of the brayta says, uvashini lo yichnos machmata onus mutar. Said, you can't come in on Monday, but if there's an onus, then you're allowed to. So my onus, what's the onus? What are we talking about? Ile mahad amran, if it's the case that you just had where the right of the first night, hatam kari le sakana v'hachaka kari le onus, stick to your guns. Either call it sakana or call it onus. The two, hatam nahagu hacha mutar, and also you use different terminology. There you said the people on their own nahagu had the started doing getting married on Tuesday, and you allowed it. Here you're saying it's mutar. See, it can't be the same case. Amarava da Amri Sart Savah Bala here. Because when is it okay to get married on Monday? If you hear that an army is coming through town, an army is going to be coming through town later on, like on a Tuesday or Wednesday, they're going to be pillaging, then you want to have the wedding quickly before the town gets disrupted. Hey Chidami, what's the story? Yida Ati V'chali, if the guy's just coming through town, so wait till he comes through town, clean up the mess, and have the wedding. So Lotzricha da Ati V'kava, we're talking about a case, and we have records of cases like this in Sasanian Persia, where they would come and they would camp in a town and the Jews would have to house them and feed them, right? So, begimo mihalichnos, so if they're coming in on a Wednesday, and so you don't have the wedding on a Wednesday, have the wedding on a Tuesday. And they're coming in for a while, so you don't want to delay the wedding, have the wedding on a Tuesday. So the answer is, asparva didei begimo kavtu. His front soldiers come in on Tuesday. If he's coming in on Wednesday, they come in on Tuesday to set up shop. Here's another answer, which is, what is the onus? Kiritanya. Let's say that a guy was ready for his wedding, the bread was baked, the animals were shechted, the wine was already properly poured and diluted. A terrible tragedy, the father of the chatan or the mother of the kala. When they pick the father of the chatan, the mother of the kala, because they're the ones who work with the chatan or the kala respectively, to prepare them for the wedding, and they suddenly die. What do we do? We put the mate away in a room, as if they're not there. We bring the chatan and kala into the chuppah. And after the chuppah, they have relations once, and then they separate. And they have the public 7 days of celebration. This is a baita and continues on. After the 7 days of mishteh, they then have the 7 days of Avilut. In other words, we missed, what was left out of here, is we put the mate in a cheder, then they have the chuppah, and after the chuppah, they bury the mate. But because the 7 days of simcha have already applied to this chatan and kala, that's where they go, and the Avilut is pushed off, almost like parallel to a case where somebody who dies on Yom Tov, and the Avilut does not start, even though they bury Chol HaMoed, the Avilut doesn't start till afterwards. Parenthetically, point out, that through the entire 14 days, he sleeps with men, she sleeps with women, meaning they don't allow them to be alone together. But nonetheless, even for the first shloshim, for the first 30 days that the kala is a kala, we allow her to dress nicely and pretty so that she will be pretty and attractive to her husband. They're not yet that intimate. Now, our comment on this bright day is, first of all, davka aviv shachatan o'ima shakala. As I mentioned, specifically the father of the chatan or the mother of the kala, deleka inish tatarachlu. There's nobody else who can help them and prepare for them the way that they need preparation. Aval ipchalo, if it's the mother of the chatan or the father of the kala, so there's the other father there, and there's the other mother there who can help. Parenthetically, going to the issue of the food, this is only when we say everything's ready. It's really they started cooking the food. They put the water on the meat. If they didn't yet do that, they could sell the meat. Rava says in a big town, even if they've already cooked the food, there's enough people in the town, they could sell it. There's a fire sale, as you might call it. Our Papa says the opposite, by the way. If you're just in a small village, even if you had not even mixed the meat and the water and started cooking it, you already had the shechted meat, then it can't be sold and you can go ahead and have the wedding. In other words, this entire wedding is based not on an emotional need, but rather on the tremendous financial loss that will happen if they have to, as it were, throw the wedding away. Now, parenthetically, what is the mechanism by which this is happening? So the mechanism is that because of the Hefsed Merubah, Chachamim allowed you to go ahead and have chuppah, which an avel is not allowed to have. But remember, they're not availing yet because you didn't bury the dead. So they have the chuppah. Once they have the chuppah, they are now ensconced in the week of Shivat Yimei HaMishteh. And subsequent to that, they can already... They have the Shivat Yimei HaMishteh. And then the avelut kicks in on them, as I mentioned, just like somebody who buries on Chol HaMoed, it kicks in after Yom Tov. But, so Rav Chista's case where he said it's only if you poured the water on, where is that? In a small town, even without pouring the water on, you can't sell the meat. And in a large town, we said, in a big city, even if you pour the meat, started cooking it, you can still sell it. So where is a case where if you didn't start cooking it, you can sell it, but and therefore the wedding is canceled or delayed. But on the other hand, if you had already started cooking it, then you don't have to throw it away and you have the wedding. Where is that? I'm watching on Matamasia, like my town of Matamasia. It's smaller than a krach, it's bigger than a kfar. Good. Tanya Kamatin Rav Chista, we have a bright that supports Rav Chista's distinction. It adds to our earlier bright up. You started cooking the meat. And then that person dies. Exactly like the bright we had. The only difference so far is Mayim al Gabe Basar, which supports Rav Chista. Now, this is where this brayta adds something in that we will also investigate. Similarly, if a man at the chuppah, his wife suddenly becomes a nida, then they have to sleep separately. In other words, a husband and a wife are not allowed to be alone, even though they're already married, if they haven't yet had relations, and they're not allowed to be together, as in a nida. For the first 30 days that they're married, a kala can wear her tashitim, that's true about avilut, etc. And either way, his first bia shouldn't be on Erev Shabbat, and it shouldn't be Saturday night, which again, that's something we have to investigate. And parenthetically, over the course of the next few daf, the focus will be on analyzing every piece of this brayta until we get to the sugya Brichat Chatanim on Daf Chet. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day, and we will continue with the next podcast picking up at this point.